Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come so that we might hear what you have for us today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back before my vocation and ministry was anything more than a niggling thought in the back of my mind, Andrea and I were heavily involved in a hobby called historical reenacting. In the warm summer months, we traveled throughout eastern Canada and the U.S., dressing up in hot wool uniforms, camping in rustic canvas tents, and participating in battle reenactments from the American Revolution and the War of 1812. But we didn't do this alone. Andrea and I started a group that traveled together. We called ourselves the Loyalist Fifes and Drums, and it was made up largely of teenagers. Actually, when we first started, they weren't even teenagers, but as the years went by, we saw this group grow from a motley group of kids to a pretty fine specimen of military discipline. One of the costs of answering my call to ministry was letting go of this unique weekend hobby. We still participate in the occasional event, but we no longer have our group of young people traveling with us. Well, a few months ago, I was sent the minutes from the 2019 reenactment planning meeting. Apparently, they spent a lot of time this year discussing the problem of age. There's too much gray hair in the hobby, they said. We need to attract more young people because the numbers are declining, they lamented. Upon reading this, I admit that I rolled my eyes. The truth is, they had young people in the hobby not that long ago, but they took it for granted, and before long, they moved on. And why would they stick around? There was no new challenge for them. No one was grooming them for leadership or more significant roles. They no doubt enjoyed being part of it, but eventually they drifted away, got involved in other things. And of course, this is the same problem facing many churches today. But it's not only churches and reenactment groups. A few months back, there was an article in the Napanee Beaver about the Lions Club and their challenges with aging membership and increasingly fatigued volunteers. The truth is, this is a problem that many organizations face today. People get older. No one really notices at first. But before you know it, the future vitality of these very worthwhile organizations is in jeopardy. Interestingly, the Bible addresses this very issue. If the church is Christ's body on earth, then God is apparently concerned about good succession planning. And so today we return to the story of Moses, probably for the last time in this series. Moses' God-given calling is about to come to an end. But the work isn't finished. The Israelites have not yet entered the promised land. Why would God not allow Moses to finish the task? Well, I don't know exactly, but what I do know is that work in the church is often about beginning what someone else will complete. And so it's time for a change. It's time for someone else to pick up where Moses has left off. It's time to pass the mantle. But this leads us to an important question. How do we know when it's time? When is it time to say, I've done my part? It's time to entrust this work to someone else. Well, the short answer is we don't really know. That's for God to decide. There is no such thing in the Bible called retirement. I'm 65. It's time for me to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, said no one ever in the Bible. Remember, Moses is 120 years old here. But there's no question that we can't serve in the same capacity and in the same way forever. God calls us to serve in seasons. And in every season, we are called to serve in a different kind of way. And that's why the current situation in the reenacting hobby and in the Lions Club and in the church is so precarious these days. The last generation of leaders has done a stellar job of serving. But it seems that many understood their roles as life sentences. The young people today, they just don't take an interest, they say. I'm just not sure that that's the whole story. By the way, this predicament is also biblical. Moses did a great job of apprenticing Joshua to replace him, but Joshua did not do as Moses did. When Joshua eventually died, there was no one to replace him. The text says, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, that's a polite way of saying after they all died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. I wonder if that's not basically where we are today. We have a whole generation that is increasingly has no idea why being part of a church or knowing God in any sort of real way is a thing worth doing. And here's the thing. This topic this morning is not only relevant for the church. Whatever organization you are part of, be it the Masons, the Ladies Auxiliary, the UCW, Tractor Enthusiast Clubs, or the coach on the hockey team, the future of these worthy organizations depends on preparing the next generation to take over. When I decided that it was time for me to seriously think about God's call on my life, I'm convinced that God arranged for me to have a particular mentor. In a previous life, he had been a lieutenant colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces, and he had answered his own call to ministry late in life. His military experience made him an ideal mentor because in the Army, they specifically train people to raise up future leaders, and they're very good at it. Well, almost immediately, he put me to work. We had many thoughtful conversations, theological conversations in his office, but he also gave me many demanding assignments, and eventually he even allowed me to preach and assist with pastoral care in his church. Looking back, although this time often felt like trial by fire, it was invaluable for my development as a future minister. His encouragement and challenge set me up to succeed. It was a gift, not only to me personally, but also to the wider church, which desperately needs more capable ministers. Last year, one of the top 10 books recommended for pastors by Christianity Today magazine is called Growing Young, 6 Essential Strategies to Help Young People Discover and Love Your Church. The authors of the book say, if your overall hope and prayer is to have a vibrant congregation, there is arguably no better place to start than the contagious passion of young adults. For the purposes of this book, they surveyed more than 250 vibrant congregations in the U.S., and they discovered that there were 6 consistent strategies employed by these vibrant churches. They varied on just about everything else. Denomination, size, worship style, it was all different, but they consistently did these 6 things well. This morning we don't have time to unpack all 6 strategies, but I want to look at the first and perhaps the most important strategy. They called it keychain leadership. They say churches that grow young are brimming with staff, volunteers, and leaders who demonstrate keychain leadership. Whoever holds the keys has the power to let people in or to keep people out. Keys provide access to physical rooms, as well as strategic meetings, significant decisions, and central roles and places of authority. The more power you have, the more keys you tend to possess. What the church needs is keychain leaders. That is, people acutely aware of the keys on their keychain, people who are intentional about entrusting and empowering all generations with their own set of keys. Why is this so important? If you are willing to entrust your keys to young people and allow them to take on both the risk and the authority that they hold, they will trust you with their hearts, with their energy, with their creativity, and even their friends. Now, the strategy will sometimes seem like more work than it's worth, because it does take work and patience to intentionally give our keys away. But if we give them access, we will have the opportunity to touch that generation. If we don't give them access, then we won't. So now back to the story of Moses. Moses has long been giving Joshua the keys to God's mission. As early as Deuteronomy 1, God refers to Joshua as Moses' assistant. Moses delegated the leadership of the army to him. Moses had trained Joshua in statecraft in an incident with the kings of the Amorites. And praying to God on Joshua's behalf was an important element of Moses' training for him. So now that it's time for Joshua to take over from Moses, he's already fully prepared for leadership. And the people are fully prepared to follow him. Moses didn't wait until he was ready to retire to look for the replacement. He was constantly grooming the next generation all along the way. And that is exactly what we need to be doing too. I wonder what would happen if we were to make one of our mature youths an elder on the session. What would happen if one year we invited our youth group to work with the men's group to run the pancake supper? I wonder what would happen if we started praying that God would raise up a future minister from our own congregation. What if our official board were to apply for a government summer work grant and hired one of our own teens to run Sunday school and vacation Bible school during the summer months? Well, we might be disappointed, but we probably wouldn't. But one thing is certain, they would change us. They would push us. And we would grow younger together. I told you last week that this sermon was going to be about knowing when God is calling us out of our calling. There's no simple answer to that question. But here's one way of looking at it. It's time to leave your calling when you have successfully mentored the next generation to take it on. And then your job changes. Now you become a cheerleader, giving the next generation full permission and your full support to do it differently than you did it. Some things will seem like improvements, some things will not. But here's the thing, unless we create a strategy to grow young, there's not going to be a church, or a Masons, or a Lions Club, or a reenacting hobby, because we held on to it too tightly for too long. Now let me be clear, this is not an invitation for everyone over 65 to resign their positions. You don't get to retire until you're as old as Moses. But this is an invitation for all of our committees, all of our organizations, all of our clubs to develop a strategy to grow young together. As a pastoral charge, we have reached a generation that everyone said could not be reached in this day and age. How did we do it? We rolled out the red carpet. We changed how we do things. We made children a priority. And now we have about as many kids on Sunday morning as we can handle given the volunteers that we have. I just wonder if the same approach might also help us to reach young adults. Moses was the greatest leader in the history of Israel. Moses is the spiritual father of a nation. But he didn't finish the job. He had to leave things undone. Joshua would go on to have his own successes and failures, and Moses would live on in the memory of the world because he knew that empowering the next generation was even more important than accomplishing his task. I think the same is true for us today. I've often noted that this is one of the few places in the world today where generations come together. It's one of the few places where 5-year-olds still gather with 85-year-olds. I treasure that opportunity to be God's beloved community together. Today we have heard that Moses' calling is coming to an end, but Israel's calling has only begun. We have a great legacy of faithfulness in this place, but the future of Christian community in Greater Napanee is in our hands. The future will be shaped by the choices that we make today. Will there be Christians who are the salt and light of this community 20 years from now? I don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know is what Moses told Joshua this morning. He said, "The Lord Himself goes before us and will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God, do not be afraid," he said, "and do not be discouraged." This is God's church. God will find a way for us to be the church together. We just have to be willing to go where he leads us. Thanks be to God.